to the Hollywood Fringe Festival 2010 post-Fringe town hall meeting. Yay! All right, so this is what we're doing today. I'm going to be sitting here really strangely on this sofa. And I'm going to go over some really quick things. A lot of you don't know the things that we're planning, and I'm going to be talking like Bill Cosby. I'm going to go over the things that we're planning, and then we're just going to go category by category and just try to create a conversation. And then actually, the nice thing about this size is that we can really have a conversation as opposed to question and answer, which is significantly more boring. So I think for the time being, unless you guys strike it unruly, I don't think there's really much of a need for a raising of hands and all that sort of business. This is great. Actually, I'd just like to leave, and if you guys could keep talking, while I'll just listen to the recording later on. So a few things about the Fringe. A lot of you know the intro numbers, and I'm actually planning on doing a post called The Fringe by the Numbers, which is just like lots and lots of numbers. But the key numbers, most people know, we had 30 venues, we had 184 shows, we had 800 performances, give or take some performances. Those are the big ones as far as what we came into the Fringe with. The big number that we're leaving the Fringe with is over 17,000 seats filled in the Hollywood Fringe Festival. It's so great.
Yes.
Let's all give Mr. Ezra Buzzington a round of applause. Yay!
I say, but with those numbers, where does that place us in the Fringe world?
You're going to get me on record. And other Fringe festivals are going to listen to this, and I'm going to get an angry email. Like, as far as the number of tickets sold, I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
I know that Cap Fringe sold at least 20,000 this year. I'm not quite sure what that puts us on the scale of others. As far as the number of shows, without talking too much out of turn, I think that easily puts us at the largest festival in California and the third largest festival in the United States with the word fringe in it. For whatever we all have in common. Actually, it turns out we have very little in common just besides the name Fringe. But I believe that 184 just eclipsed Minnesota's numbers for this year, and that puts us behind Philadelphia for number two, with number one being New. So big changes next year. Most of the stuff that we're doing next year is going to be pretty much the same as we did this year. We're not looking at any tectonic shifts in the model of the Fringe Festival, because that would be stupid. Instead, we're tweaking here and there. We're looking at the parts that didn't work as well as we wanted them to, or worked as well as we thought they would end up working, which was not good enough considering the time we had, if you follow me. But next year, we want to take it to the next level in 2011. And in 2012, I see, when we started this whole thing, even though it was 3 years ago, we had sort of the three-year Fringe plan. The first year was going to be like, oh, please, God, let it just happen, which it did. Thanks to all of you, and especially you. And you. Hi, you're all great. Next year, we're going to take, and by the way, next year is, we can say with a certain amount of confidence, June 16th through June 26th, 2011. Even the dates are basically the same. So we're going to be tweaking this a little bit, and some of the stuff that I've talked to a lot of you in this room about what could be better, what can we build on, what can we go the extra mile on. The first big one is, this is from a lot of people, is goes directly to the sense of place in the Fringe Festival, and that is creating more of an event outside. And that goes for this particular area, and it goes for all of Hollywood. Is trying to create a more immersive experience in general. But specifically, around here, we're currently in talks with the folks at American Cinematheque up here who run the Egyptian Theater and Courtyard and the owner of the parking lot back here to try to create more of a what you might call carnival or fair atmosphere, sort of the stuff you associate with most traditional festivals. Like what we'd like to see is booths. So food, crafts, etc. Sold like either up there or down there. We're currently in negotiations for this whole sort of area to try to create, as I say, more of a sense of place, more of an event, something so people walking by Hollywood Boulevard can see and go like, ah, it's something's really happening here. We're going to be working with Mr. John Armstrong on a lot of this. Where is he? Raise your hand, John. Hey! Tell us that story again.
What story?
No. The story that won you the award? Maybe later?
Maybe later.
Oh, okay. It's basically, we're going to have permanent stages is the big thing. We're going to have permanent seating, which is another thing that lends itself to permanent stages. And there's going to be acts there that are more specific to outdoor type acts. We're going to have buskers, professional buskers, really trying to pull people in. We have all sorts of tentative plans about how to make the outside around here really interesting and fascinating and fun for the whole family. And speaking of the whole family, one of the things that we're also working on for next year is a kids program, a kids, K-I-D-S program, is try to give during the day more opportunities for families to come and enjoy the fringe so that the parents don't take their kids home and go to something nasty that night. Trying to have more programming for kids, for families, and specific areas around here where we're going to have this. There'll be much more discussion on this in general. But yeah, that's the idea. A lot of people came and said I had trouble selecting what shows I want to see. And when faced with nearly 200 shows, the act of selecting what you want to see and scheduling what you want to see, all of it becomes really difficult. And all those of you, which I'm sure there are a lot of you, who ended up seeing 20 shows felt a little frustrated by the system as it was. And I completely and totally understand that. That we're probably not going to be using a third-party ticketing system next year. We're going to be developing our own fringe ticketing system. So for those of you who feel like being beta testers, that's something we definitely need help with. Because we wanted to...
No, I was saying,
all right. Gadali was my major participant beta tester last year, because that'd be like, please try to vote on something to Gadali and tell me it works. He's like, hey, it worked! Like, thank God. I was like literally coding into the last day. I like this stuff. So anyway, that was fun. So baked-in ticketing. So we're developing a ticketing system that is fully integrated with the website. So that opens up the door for a lot of interesting little feature and featurettes that we can include, including the one thing that literally ever since I was pitching this idea to the Capital Fringe Festival when they were starting, I had this idea way back then, which is basically a schedule my day type of application. So you go onto the site and you say, I am interested in seeing these genres, this is what I'm interested in. I'm interested in seeing shows during these times. I am only interested in seeing shows that have so far gotten 3 stars. All sorts of various criteria that you can give the system as inputs, as we say. And then it'll say, here's the suggestion of shows that you want to see.
Will it say the...
That's actually the system processing and putting all the shows you want to see, including the shows that you specifically say also make room for this show, this show, this show, this show, and this show. Because actually, I remember when Rachel was initially putting together your fringe schedule, you're one of the first, and I was actually thinking like, wow, you were like, this is a big pain in the ass, which is true. I can understand that if you want to see 20 shows, and you consistently have to be looking back at the book or the website or flying around trying to figure out what time is this, what time is this, what time is this, wouldn't it be easier if you said, dear website, I want to see this show, this show, this show, this show, and this show, and suggest any other shows that meet these criteria to sort of sew it all together. Goosh, no. And it'll basically schedule the whole thing. You can check the ones that you want to buy, hit one button, purchase now, and you're done. And that's what we're going to be trying to build this year into the website. And obviously, we couldn't do that with Ovation. We needed to have our own ticketing system to do that. So that's the plan, at least. The ticketing system will also give us a lot more flexibility and all that stuff that was sort of a pain in the butt this year. As far as, like, in theory, all of your information existed in two places. One on the Fringe website, one on the Ovation website. If you change one, you need to change both. So in some cases, you'll have like performances didn't match between the two, like on just a couple cases, thankfully, that we fixed immediately. But generally, it was a pain in the butt to administer. You change one performance, and you change all performances in multiple data stores, a big pain in the butt. So to make it all nice and neat and compact, we're going to be focusing big time on that scheduling app and the baked-in ticketing system app. Actually, we hope to have a beta of all of that by December. So we'll probably be opening that up for testing relatively soon after December. Also, you have this idea of tagging. Everyone, just general, the concept of tags.
Yep.
Right? So it's like, you have a show. You have Pagan Play as your show. And you can, Megan, go in and say, how would you describe my show in a series of adjectives? It's kooky. It has goats. It has... You can basically come up with all the words you use to describe your show. And then people looking to see shows can then say, like, do an advanced search type of thing and say, show me all shows that are kooky, zany, wacky, bizarre, stupid, etc., etc. Yeah, full of goats. And then hit search, and it'll show you all of those. And you can further search, say, show me all those shows on Monday. And it'll go, 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 go. So basically trying to find new and interesting ways to have people who want to see a Fringe show but are so overcome by the sheer mass of how many shows there are to make their selections. One of the big successes, I'm going to be done talking soon. One of the big successes this year was in the amount of reviews, both external and internal. There's some really great number of the amount of internal reviews that were written, and I can't pull out of my ass right now. But it was like hundreds of reviews were made on the site, which is good. That was actually, like, I coded that June 16th, and we have all these reviews, though. So thank God for that. But reviews really help people get shows. It's good for participants because they can take stuff away. I mean, even if it's Joe Fringe Goer, you can still quote Joe Fringe Goer, said, it was the best thing I've ever seen in my life. Not to mention the wonderful work that Stacey did getting backstage and LA Weekly to come and review all the shows as well. That was a huge... Yeah, that was a coup, I think. Like getting cats and dogs to
live together.
I was going to say something else, but yeah, having cats and dogs to live together turned out not to be a mass hysteria. It turned out to be awesome. Anyone gets a reference?
Yeah,
thank you. It's always Ghostbusters. So the reviews became an excellent way for people to figure out what they wanted to see online. Getting more tools into the site so you can leverage those reviews to narrow things down to see what you want to see. Get more news outlets to come in. One thing we didn't have this year that I really want for next year is television. We didn't have, we had radio, we had print, we had internet, we had word of mouth. We didn't have much television. So those of you who have contacts with televisions, we have some, actually. One sent me, you're all going to hate me. One sent me an email, like it was June 18th at like 9 p.m. sent me an email saying, oh, I have a camera crew ready to come over there right now. And I was a little behind in my email during the Fringe. So like the next morning when I'm busting through on my email, I'm like, and I'm like, no, you can come right now. Not going to answer my emails, are you? So, so next year it'd be great to have more television coverage. Overall, that would be a big coup, I think. So we're going to be focusing on developing those relationships with the press. And if anybody has any contacts in the world of television, that would just be ducky. Here's an exciting thing. I'm going to say something that's going to excite you all. Speaking of previews, review. What was the big problem with reviews? Anyone? What was the big
problem?
Came out too late. Thank you, Khan, who knows exactly what I'm about to announce. So basically, a lot of these reviews, the Backstage and LA Weekly reviews, weren't published until the end of the first week, which you were totally screwed, because your show didn't begin until the second week.
Yep.
So that was a problem. This thing is not going to fix that problem.
Several more than just the shows.
There you go. What we want to do is we want to launch the festival. We want the festival to begin with X amount of reviews in the back. How do we do that? How do theaters do this? Anyone? Shh.
Previews!
Okay, so what we are looking to do for next year, and this, by the way, isn't unprecedented. Edinburgh does this, and the Capital Fringe does this. Two of my favorite fringes do this. Is they have a week or two of time ahead of time, and then all venues that want to participate in the previews program, Fringe Central will obviously participate in the previous program, basically means that leading up into the Fringe, even if you're doing your show at Comedy Sports, Theater of Note, or wherever, you can come to one of these preview theaters and you can put on a performance, two performances, for press invites and anybody else who wants to roll in. The details are still sort of saggy, but as far as the concept is what we're exploring right now, of having a time before the Fringe where people can stage shows for a press-like audience so that they can have reviews on the first day of the Fringe. It's going to be interesting. That's what we're talking about next year. And the details are going to emerge, the whole thing. We're just right now exploring the concept of previews. And then, like this year, new subject. This year we had a lot of theater. We had a lot of comedy, which is great. We thought that theater and comedy would be the two biggest things, because traditionally theater and comedy are the two biggest categories in any fringe. We had lots of wonderful dance and theater. We had some music. We had some visual art. Next year, we would really like to make inroads into the world of visual art, be that installation pieces around here or within venues or actually galleries around Hollywood. Try to create more of a visual art program. And in some cases, potentially futzing with the model a bit as it applies to visual art to try to encourage more visual artists to do their stuff. One of the things that like works for theater that doesn't work so much for visual artists is you pay a registration fee, you find a venue. It's a little different in the visual art world, just as it is in the music world. So we might create a specific, some artists call it a visual fringe program that is specific to the visual art world, and trying to create something along the lines of that for us. So we have all these wonderful performances all over the places, and between those performances have real exhibitions and have stuff going on to make the whole thing more beautiful. So thinking about that, everyone's thinking about that now too. Music, we had some great bands this year looking for a significant push into the music world. And we do live in Los Angeles, and there was a suspicious lack of...
Film
in the Hollywood Fringe Festival. And I'm not saying that we become the next LA Film Fest, which is happening at the same time again as us next year. But we do have... a film component, a real film component. And we're going to be working with people who are all tapped into that world. I'm sure there are people in this room that are tapped into that world to try to figure out what's the best way to approach that. And then what's the best way to try to build more of a film repertoire in the Hollywood Fringe Festival. And that would be an interesting thing to do. As I mentioned before, busker's an outdoor performance artist. A significant uptick in their participation next year and moving into years following that. More outreach to mid-sized theaters. A lot of you, I don't know if you saw, you haven't seen it because I haven't published it yet. Has anyone read Footlights in the past week?
Yeah.
Did anyone see the article that I wrote in Footlights? Because it's supposed to be in there. Okay, maybe it's not published yet.
No, it's in there.
No, it's in there?
It's currently at Note with Shake and Eat the Run.
Oh, right. Did you read it?
I read part of it, then the show began, and I had to pay attention to that.
Okay. I guess it got out for you already. In that article, one of the things that I talk about is the concept of how do we... This is my Don Shirley response one. How do we engage the mid-sized theaters in this wonderful town more, and even the large theaters in this town more? And the concept that we are playing with, we've already seen it in action in the co-productions of Theater of Note and Theater Asylum for Burton, everything that's currently happening at Theater Asylum, the whole Best of Fringe business currently happening at Theater Asylum, is to approach some of these mid-sized theaters and say, look, if you guys are looking for an experimental program in your next season, and all seasons moving forward, then here's an idea. Take... a July slot, a July or August or summer slot, and say, just reserve a slot in your season called our Fringe Pick, right? So let's say Actors Gang decides that they want to reserve a slot in July, hint, hint, for their Fringe Pick. Then they would come, they'd send representatives of their theater, they would go from show to show to show, and at the end, maybe during the award ceremony, maybe not, they would say, and our Fringe Pick, the show that we have decided to pick out of the fringe, potentially fund, potentially develop more, for a season run at our mid-size or large theater is X. And that becomes more and more of a thing, because the whole point isn't just to hang out for 2 weeks and have a good time and do some art and stuff, and that's cool and stuff. But the real point is to give a launching pad for a lot of participants who come, to give their shows and their companies a life after Fringe. A lot of people have said that their professional careers began with a Fringe festival and a Fringe festival show. So how do we really use that? We're in this wonderful city with all these opportunities, and really make your Fringe run like the beginning of something big and great and keep moving on and on and on and on. More visibility, more success, on and on. And this mid-sized theater program is something that we're really playing around with, and we're going to be talking to a lot of mid-sized theaters over the course of the next couple hundred days, trying to get them on board in one way or another, and really using the Fringe Festival as their Sundance. It's the place where they go and they grab the newest, most interesting thing and try to pull it into their mid-sized theater. As I said in this article, or in the Don Shirley response article, one of the big issues with mid-sized theater participation, one is a lot of them just didn't know about it, a lot of them were taking a wait-and-see approach. The other thing is, isn't it a question of geography? They already have their big, wonderful theater in Culver City, or in downtown, or in NoHo, or on and on. Why would they want to travel? So the thing is, maybe they don't need to travel. Maybe we can bring the Fringe to them after Hollywood Fringe Festival, and the Fringe Festival, by its very nature, then becomes more citywide because its tentacles are going elsewhere. So you have this big, centralized sense of event, sense of place thing for 2 weeks out of the year, and everyone sort of goes there and enjoys their little sense of place in the arts world for a little while, and then it expands throughout the rest of the city in the guise of this sort of post-Fringe life. That's the idea, at least. And the last thing I have on my little list here of things to talk about is the wonderful thing about Hollywood and the wonderful thing about Los Angeles is we have all these wonderful theaters that are just fully equipped and beautiful with seats and a stage and lights and instruments and clothing. They are, as they say, prêt-à-porter. As opposed to what a lot of other fringe festivals have, they don't have this. They don't have this wonderful selection of fully sized theaters. So they need to get a little creative in what their venues are. And you have a lot of more of young companies sort of creating their own Fringe Festival, their own venue from nothing. So what we like to see more of next year is, in addition to all these fantastic theaters that we already have, is more and more of your DIY venues. So if you're a theater company and you're like, you know what, I want to start my own venue. But I don't have $1 million, I can't do this the whole year round. But I do have enough money to rent out this storefront for 2 weeks, to convert it and put the energy to it into making it something really interesting and really experimental and running that venue, getting the experience running that venue. And as Ezra would say, running a venue for the Fringe is a good experience and a difficult experience in a lot of ways, but certainly a life experience and one that I hope more people can have because we have, as I said in this article, we have a lot of great dots. What we need right now are like connectors between those dots. We need things happening all over the place in completely irregular and unconventional spaces. So for those of you that are listening or are here and decide that they are interested in the wonderful experience of running a Fringe venue, then I'm saying that you don't need a big theatrical space with seats and lights, the whole thing. You will eventually need seats and lights, but you don't need like a ready-to-go thing that will cost you thousands of dollars to rent. You can create your own out of a storefront, out of an outdoor space, out of an unconventional space, out of a beauty salon, out of a gas station. There's all these DIY options where you can get all entrepreneurial are out there. And I'm just saying that I think we would all like to see more of that. We'd like to see more people trying their hands at new things and creating things out of nothing. Because that's what art is, isn't it?
Good end.
That was it. Like, Khan's like, good finishing, Ben. Okay, you stop talking now. Okay, so as far as the rest of the time, Yankees fan. I was going to go
Everyone hates you.
27.
You guys might or may not have stuff to say. If you don't have anything to say, don't worry about it. It just means we can start drinking earlier. If you do have stuff to say, then by all means, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through various categories, so we can have a little sort of clustering of ideas around certain subjects. Bye. Embarrass the people walking away. And so I'm going to mention a category. I might say here's a few things that I didn't mention, smaller things we want to do in that category, and then just sort of open it up to what people want to say. And the first one, begin at the beginning, is registration. The only thing I'll say a couple things about registration, is A, no more visa petitions run by the French for international artists. If you are an international artist, which most of you probably aren't,
except Jill,
we will not be petitioning for visas for you next year, I'm sorry to say, but you don't want to do that anyway. What you want to do is you want to come over here in the guise of the real, it's not just a guise, of a competition. And that's how most of them did it this year. They said, I'm coming over to participate in the international competition. That allows you to come over here on a tourist visa. It allows your venue or presenting organization to reimburse you your travel expenses, and it is much, much, much more likely to work for you than an actual O3 or P1, reverse that, P3 or O1 visa petition. So that's one thing. No visa petitions next year from us. But if you still want to come over here on an O1 or a P3, you just need to find an American producing organization that will petition for you. All I'm saying is that it won't be us. It will be someone else. Seriously, paperwork per petition looks like that. That was about an inch for the people listening. That's the number one thing. Another thing is the registration period will be shorter. We're doing this just as much for venues as we're doing this for participants. People coming in on December and looking for a place are going to have a tough time finding a venue, so most venues aren't thinking about June in December. What we're probably going to end up doing is the beginning of February with a guide deadline, the same as this year, which is April 1st. So it's going to be a much tighter registration period next year, which shouldn't really affect anyone. It's still months and months of time to do your registrations. We hope that by compressing it, that the venues are ready to start accepting your applications and are ready to accept it as you're giving them, as opposed to basically December through early February that last year was frustrating for a lot of people and useless for a lot of others because they were just like, no venues are responding to me. I can't book a venue. I can't book a venue. I can't book a venue. It's like, come on.
You were like, shut up, Greg.
Right. And then I was like, shut up, Greg. Stop talking to me. I know it's tough. Mostly the stuff about registration is going to stay the same, but I'm really interested right now, the people in the audience, to get your thoughts on the registration process and how it might be improved. Any ideas you have about the registration process?
I like the idea of it being shorter because that's exactly the issue was that, you know, I registered in December and couldn't find a venue until damn near the deadline.
Right.
You know, so.
Right. Yeah. And actually, you ended up at Complex as one of the latter entry venues.
Which,
right.
Svengals probably listened to this.
Which is a very fantastic venue to work with.
Where is Svengals?
Yay!
I'll shut up now because this is being recorded.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
but absolutely, that's what we're going for. We're basically like, the only changes we're making in general is looking to see what your pain was and trying to figure out how to make that pain go away. And the whole late, tighter registration schedule is part of realizing a pain and thinking, if we make it more of a sense of like, these are the 3 months of registration, as opposed to these are the 6 months of registration, we hope to make a lot of that pain of registration go away. As far as like, now you were in a special circumstance because you have a full-length play.
Yeah.
Some of you had a full-length play. Most of you had a full-length play were at the Complex because the Complex are one of the few venues accepting
full-length. That wasn't curated based on time.
Right. Yeah. Well, and a lot of them say, like, we're looking for 60. It's like its own curation.
Yeah.
So, like, what would be great is if anyone is here and feels like being venue entrepreneurial. Like, I know Note did full-length plays as well.
Yes and no. Our longest was how long, John?
90.
Yeah, with no intermission.
So,
but we actually tried to avoid them because they're just difficult to program.
Absolutely. At the same time, I think it would be wonderful to have more options of full-length plays at the Fringe Festival. So it would be great for those of you who are thinking about being all entrepreneurial from a perspective of market supply and demand. There are people in this room right now who will tell you, if you start a venue that focuses on full-length plays, then you will have a market. You will have people that are looking for you, and you can really advertise. Like, we are a venue, we are looking for full-length plays. There will be people who will want to do their stuff at your venue. So, because we want short plays, we want long plays, we want no plays, we want all sorts of stuff. It's great to have variety as much as possible. So I was really happy. I saw a couple of full-length plays. I was really happy. The three people sitting right there, I saw all of your plays. and it was really great to see some full-length plays, in addition to the 30 minutes, the 45 minutes, and the 90 minutes. Variety is what we want. So by all means, for those of you looking to get all entrepreneurial in your venues, that is a market open. Sir?
Yes. So we are interested, because we just moved into a space, and we are interested in becoming a venue, but we're 3.5 miles away.
Right.
Or 2 stops on the subway station,
right,
which makes us walking distance. So
right,
that would require a boundaries expansion.
Hi!
Oh, this is Chestnut.
Yeah. Probably should have mentioned that at the beginning. All right. Here's the thing about that. One of, like, I, despite, a lot of people lie about this, I read my own press. A lot of the press that we got, some of it said, one of the real slices of genius, I use that word very deliberately, about the Hollywood Fringe Festival, was the fact its compactness, and was the fact that it focused on density rather than, you know, spread out. And you might say that other theater festivals that have made a go, or arts festivals that have made a go in Los Angeles, the problem was, is even though I had great work, it was so dispersed over the whole city that there was no sense of place, that there was no sense of festival. So as a result, we are not going to be changing our borders for 2011 because of all these reasons. We're going to go for density over spread outedness. So it's like, obviously, and we will one day increase the size of the borders when basically there is no more space and people are, it's like the curation of geography. It's like, I just, there's nowhere I can do my thing anymore because all every nook and cranny, is what, nook and crannies? Every word, reference, anyone?
Stop it.
Sorry.
Thank you.
it's rude. And every nook and cranny is taken up. And so it's like, so, and we're not even close to that yet. There are so many conceivable performance spaces totally unused. So for the benefit of the audience, the eventual benefit of the participants, because you want that whole walk-up sort of feeling, we're not going to be expanding our borders pretty much at all this year. It's going to be pretty much the same. So I'm sorry for all the, like you guys didn't have your venue and all that sort of stuff. And I hope that doesn't keep you away. Mr. Bussington.
I'd like to point out there's also the possibility of other districts in Los Angeles starting their own fringe festival and keeping it just as compact and just as neighborhood centric. You know,
yeah,
a Silver Lake Festival, a Santa Monica Festival, a North Hollywood Festival.
We will.
And it would be just as legitimate.
Spoken like a true son.
Well, if that's your goal, then you should probably speak with Alina Holley because she's guide you in that direction. With regard to actually sharing the art with the larger community, that's always an option to remember.
And this is things that we're exploring. I mean, like, we've just in the fully brainstorming apology leading up to what I'm about to say, just things that we're just considering for future years is to basically have more than one festival a year. And maybe one of those festivals is Zenoa or Santa Monica and downtown or East Hollywood. Or totally based on Courage Theater's current location, wherever that might be. we're exploring those ideas. For 2011, the borders are basically be the same, and the goal will be to make it a denser experience as much as humanly possible, which is one of the reasons why I mentioned five times if you wanted to start an environmental DIY venue, that might be something you might be interested in doing.
And you guys can use your space for the greater good by choosing their fringe pick, correct?
Oh, there you go. You see, yeah. There's nothing keeping Courage Theater from doing a fringe pick and bringing it to you. So bringing it to the people all over the world in East Hollywood. So you have those options as well. Absolutely. And even I said mid-sized and large theaters. I mean, Theater of Note and Theater of Silence are not mid-sized theaters. Like you can say they're smaller theaters. Like as far as all things, 99 seat and less theaters. So, and like we would like to see not just the mid-sized 500 seat theaters or the huge CTG type theaters. Like we would like to see smaller theaters as well. Do their fringe pick and take it out into the world in different sort of parts. So, by all means, Theater Unleashed.
Well, Theater Unleashed is actually probably picking a show from this year's fringe for next season.
Which one?
Birthday Boys.
No kidding.
Yeah, I'm talking with Aaron now, but it's probably going to be part of our 2011 main station.
Well done, sir. Very good. I'm glad to see that's good. Isn't that great, though?
Yeah.
Isn't that what we want to see more of?
Yeah! Yay!
Sir!
Two things. One, is there going to be any active recruitment of fringe participants from, say, other countries?
Yes.
The International Fringe Festival was a salute to all nations, but mostly America.
Yep.
This year. So I thought it'd be a really good idea to definitely try to, especially solicit Edinburgh or the Canadian fringes and things of that nature.
Absolutely.
We'll be doing that.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to Edinburgh in 2 weeks.
Yes.
2 weeks specifically to do that. Like we're going to have our promoters passes. We're going to be seeing lots and lots of shows. We're going to be fringe festivals don't recruit, do they? But we're going to be recruiting.
Well, I think just the fact that most, I mean, because again, I've been talking about this to my Fringe connections across, and most people don't even know this exists.
Right.
So I think just the awareness is a big factor to get these people to come in and to do things.
Absolutely.
That's one. Two, for the outdoor and busking type venues that we're talking about, the registration process would have to probably be a lot different than what we are doing with the indoor venues.
Probably.
So we should probably talk about that. But if anyone has any input, I'd like to hear that as well. Because, I mean, it's a different thing. It's usually a guy or a team. Some of them don't even have computers.
Right.
We're homeless. And you know I'm the truth. That's the truth. Especially the guys who run in the Ren Faire circuit, man.
They just go from place to place.
Right.
So homeless is exciting way.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Exciting, and no, they're vagabond travelers.
Yes, there you go.
Not
bums.
Yes.
Gypsies.
So they're
watch your wallet.
Like, speaking of the first thing, like, we have this benefit of not having already done one. I was happy just to get the 10 or so international acts we had. It's like, great, fantastic. But, like, all of those international acts are now going back to all their French circuit, and they're talking this up. We had Canadians, and we had people doing other, people who were on the French circuit come. And so hopefully they will spread out and start talking about how amazing the experience was, how the French festival. And as well as, like what we don't have budget for this year, but we would love to do in future years, is to go to all the major festivals. Go to like 6 festivals a year, or 7, 8, 9, 10 festivals a year internationally. And basically just spend the whole year having people on the road touring and talking about the Hollywood Fringe Festival, the whole thing. So getting more and more, like, word of mouth I think will probably help us the most this year. And then literally, I think it was something like 7 of the 10 or so international participants that we had this year. Stacey and I were in Edinburgh 2 days in 2009, and we acquired 7 of the 10 international artists there. We like met them, made first contact. and then brought them over here one way or another. I thought you'd appreciate that one. So getting the word out there, absolutely. And as far as the registration process, and I think like the buskers/outdoor artists fit into the same category as the visual artists, is like needs to be a slight modification of how it works in one way or another. And I think that's something that will warrant a lot of talk in the next few months until we open up registrations in February.
Okay.
So yeah, absolutely. Like we need to figure out something, but that something at the same time needs to be fair for everyone else who's paying their whatever registration fee. Because like you got to think like if someone in an indoor theater is paying $200 in registration fee. But we just need to make that fair. We need to get that sense that people don't feel pissed off that just because I'm a busker or just because I'm an outdoor performance artist, I'm getting some sort of sweetheart deal as opposed. So we just need to make it fair. Make the whole thing open. And we'll be talking about that very openly throughout the course of the next few months.
You can be recruiting evangelists to go out to these international fairs and festivals?
We're going to be, not exactly, but we're actually going to be doing like the stuff that Stacey and James were doing, the correspondence stuff during that. We're going to be doing that in Edinburgh. Nice. So we'll be going and talking to people on da 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 da.
Well, if you need any help, no.
That's awesome.
I've got a current passport.
Oh, crashing my couch.
Love that.
Very good. Great. As far as registration goes, any other questions relating to registration? Registration includes finding a venue. If anybody wants to talk about the finding a venue process or any feedback on that? Super. All right. I didn't mention this in the beginning, but it pretty much goes without saying. A lot of people have said, maybe you should curate next year, or maybe you should put a cap on size next year, or all these sorts of things. I don't say no to a lot of things, but like, the Fringe Festival will never be curated, and it will never. And I consider putting a cap on number of curation as well. Now, that being said, when you think about it, the Fringe Festival is curated in a sense because you need to find a venue. So you need to find some venue that will do your big monstrous thing. So in a sense, there is an element of curation. But where the curation doesn't exist is in the central Fringe organization. If you have a venue, if you have your $200 or whatever, then we will not turn you away, period. That part will never go away. Even we have 7,000 acts next year, which I don't think we'll have. I think we'll break 200 next year rather easily. But we had, you know, we sold 17,000 tickets with 184 shows. A lot of you had sellout nights. A lot of you had plenty of healthy audiences. Some of you didn't have any audiences at all. But you know, it's that sort of thing. You're going to have that with any fringe festival. So anyway, there will be no curation. I just wanted to get that out. All right. Well, any other questions on registration? Registration. Going once. Going twice.
Just for that. Actually, just in terms of buying the venues, there's, you know, you guys were great about having text books up there, the video tours, the pictures, a lot of that stuff was fantastic. If the venues could be a little more specific in their descriptions, or if there's a section in there where they could be a little bit more specific about what it is they're looking for.
Okay.
Say, in terms of the curation, in terms of, hey, we're looking for an hour. Hey, we're looking for world premieres. Hey, we're looking for this. That would save schmucks like me a lot of headaches.
And their
right.
time, too.
And being able to search by that, too. And what time?
Their time, too.
Their time.
And their time, too. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, their time. Oh,
yeah. They're filming a lot because this way they're not, you know, getting projects lobbed at them that are not
right, and maybe even on that application screen, it's just like, just as a reminder, here's what they're looking for. Before you apply,
make sure
that you fit into one of these things. I think it's a great idea. It is more what are you looking for? We did have a what are you looking for thing this year, for venues, and it was done by category only. So it's like, I'm looking for theater, comedy, dance, physical theater, da da da. But actually going deeper into that, saying I'm looking only for hour shows, hour to 90 minute shows, I'm looking only for comedy shows, I'm looking only for world premieres.
Yeah.
Having that very specifically is a good idea. It would save people time. That'd be fantastic. Yes. I love it.
So easy fix, too.
Easy fix. He says. He doesn't do the development. anybody else? Registration process, venue finding, any of that business? Right. Yes.
Well, registering multiple things. Multiple transactions. So
yep.
If you're registering multiple things or paying for multiple things, it'd be cool to have kind of a fringe shopping cart for that process.
Interesting. So if you're registering multiple shows, that's something along the lines of a French shopping cart.
Yeah.
That's something to think about. There aren't, like, a lot of those per se. So, like, maybe we should talk about how you see that working. Because you had two shows.
Right.
Let's definitely talk about that, what you had in mind for that. That's interesting, though. Registration?
If we wanted to do like a promotional parade down Hollywood Boulevard, should the individual show register the Boulevard, or should the fringe maybe look into it from the visibility stage?
If you're talking about like road closures and whatnot, something like
a phallic procession type view.
Right. See, if you wanted a phallic procession,
what?
Yeah. She said.
Okay,
she
did, if you wanted to do a phallic procession down Hollywood Boulevard, so the images in my mind might be.
I recommend Gay Pride. Right.
It's a little further south.
The way that would work is that basically you would say that Hollywood Boulevard is my venue, or something along those lines. And then you would register a free show, probably, which would be the discounted show. So if you wanted to participate in the Fringe, then you would pay your $125 or whatever, and you'd be listed in the guide, saying, this is my phallic procession, the venue is Hollywood Boulevard, or something like that.
Are you asking, like, whether or not we would close down the Boulevard for you?
No, because I would want to promote it amongst the tourists.
Yeah, right. I think it's awesome. Like,
Are you talking about a promotion, or are you talking about an actual show?
No, I was thinking it would be, like, part of the show, but it would promote the show.
That's what you're saying.
Like a big-ass
publicity.
A bliss, yeah.
I mean, in that case, like we can't really help a single show with their promotional efforts, because that would be favoritism, and we don't play favorites, ever. That would be favoritism, so we really couldn't do that so much. But we would say, yes, go do it, your phallic procession. So we'd be very supportive. But
we could also guide you to, like, if you need permits and that kind of thing, we can help guide you to.
We would guide you not to close Hollywood Boulevard because you would piss off so many people.
Oh my God!
Depeche Mode pisses people off when they shut the building.
You're in Depeche Mode.
Boom.
Sometimes things come out of my mouth and don't make no sense. So yeah, we'll help you do whatever you need to do. And registration.
Yes. I was going to say recommending reaching out to more Southern California companies.
Yep.
So there's a lot of, like, just people from Hollywood and then people from abroad.
Yep.
Coming from San Diego, there was nothing else like that down there.
Now, how would you suggest we do that? Let me turn that question back around.
We can talk about
it. Sure. Well, we try to get, like, obviously, like, well, like, it's just finding out, like, what avenues we can use to really get down there. Like, this year, like, we're going to try to be at more events, and we're going to be booking all of our events right now. Like, this year was like, oh, this event just snuck up on us. Let's see if we can sit and hand people guides to this event. Next year, we have a pretty good list of all the events that we really wanted a presence at this year so that we can plan way ahead and go, that we'd be there. We're going to have booths, we're going to have tables, the whole thing. Obviously, our resources are, you know, what they are. There's 700 people.
Booths.
Obviously, our resources being what they are, we have, whatever, 9 people, 10 people living in Los Angeles. Only 5 of which have a car. Going to places like it's because it's a little more difficult.
Just emailing the theaters down there as well. There are small theaters in different cities, and emailing them and saying, like, bring your company up for this festival.
For sure. Which would be amazing. Yeah,
is there someone to tap into, like, the universities, colleges, you know, Fullerton, Pepperdine?
We don't have, like, a specific person on staff that does that per se, but that's the sort of thing.
We're a school.
Oh, right.
We're
not
a school, so, I mean, there's a lot of. You know, Pepperdine sends people to Edinburgh.
Yes, they do. Which would be great. It's actually more presence.
We did have
college
people. Like,
yeah. As far as, like, the general subject of visibility and getting, like, we're looking for new and interesting ways of doing it. Like, for example, like, for guide distribution, it is really hard distributing 30,000 guides. It doesn't sound hard. But it's really hard. I mean, it is just to do 10 hits, just to hit 10 theaters, it takes 3 hours of somebody's work, basically, just to do. Everyone knows this. Everyone went from theaters to theaters and dropped cards and, you know, pamphlets and flyers and the whole thing. It's hard. I mean, it is time consuming. It's hard. It takes gas. It takes time.
Yeah, but I get to beat Crown's Foursquare store.
Right. There you go. But so what we're looking at doing this year as a solution to that is actually hiring a distribution company.
Yeah,
that will do that.
What about the postcard company that does the postcards and all the?
There's a woman up in Nova that does postcard distribution run.
Oh yeah, put her again.
Also, people do, like, the newspaper stuff.
We're working right now with the people who do LA Weekly. So it's like the distribution company that does LA Weekly. We're still waiting for the quote. But if that becomes reasonable, like, throwing a couple grand or whatever at getting 30,000 guys distributed all over Southern California is absolute work. So that would be, like, marketing money well spent. So that's one of the things we're going to be focusing on doing this year. It's basically where LA Weekly goes, maybe if Fringe Guys goes too for a couple runs.
Have you guys thought about an app?
An app? Like, what sort of app?
Like a Droid or an iPhone app. Like, because
just got Ben really excited.
Okay,
guess what I'm learning right now? Objective-C. So yes, there will most likely be an iPhone app next year. We'll see how it goes. I'm, like, just learning Objective-C. So once that's a programming language, by the way. You used to develop iPhone apps. As far as, like, we're going to be developing an iPhone app, one variety or another, any sort of doneness and readiness, it will be developed over year after year after year after year. And then we're also putting together, like probably not this year, but it's definitely on the roadmap, is an Android app. But that probably won't happen this year. And I use Android, so I'm, like, big Android guy. Nonetheless, you look at the market, and it's, like, 60% smartphones or iPhones. So we're going to be focusing on iPhones first. There'll be some sort of app. It'll have tools. I'm like, where am I? What's happening right now? Buy a ticket.
That's a great voice. Where'd you get that voice?
Where's Boobs?
Yeah, yeah, my Boobs app's great.
Ian Garrett was talking about doing a digital program.
Yeah.
Guide, a digital program app. So you want to actually chat with
lines. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Like, kind of a...
Like, download the program to the show that I'm seeing right now.
Oh, that's neat, isn't it?
Yeah.
And environmentally sustainable.
Precisely. Yes. So, but he's talking, he's doing that through CSPA, so you may want
to... That's great. It would be great to have, like, for those of you who have iPads, a flipbook-like app that is, like, it's like an app, and you can just sort of, you know, like an e-reader, like a Kindle sort of thing. You go, like, oh, here's the guide. The guide's in, like, purely electronic form. Because we had the guide in electronic form this far. It was PDF.
Yeah.
You know, which is... Say what you will, but to be able to read it in some sort of format where it's entirely digital, where you can read it on your smart device, and it feels like you're reading a book. I mean, all these things would be awesome. And I'll talk to Ian about that and see what he's got going on framework wise.
You can just do that online.
Yes.
What about we were actually just like having a psychic moment there. What about banners?
Banners.
You know, because for the Getty, for like, I mean, surely Hollywood benefits from creating a big deal about, you know, the Hollywood Fringe Festival, mm-hmm. and they have those banners on the side of the road, and
yeah.
those things, I always look at them, and I always
You're talking about
out.
Wholesome House.
Yeah.
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 There's a reason why the Getty has those. They're extraordinarily expensive.
Oh,
so, yeah, I mean, trust me, we definitely looked into to pole signs, and I mean, it's great, and we might have even been able to get, like, a little break on it, but we're talking about tens of thousands.
No, is there a city council that we could petition to maybe, like...
There is a city council.
...be more...
they're great. And there is.
Yeah.
They're
I mean,
very
maybe,
supportive.
You know, like, to get a banner, like, to just propose that it is to their benefit, and maybe they could do something for free.
Sure. I mean, what I think is that, like, in a lot of cases, the banners are actually run by the business improvement districts in that area. And, for example, Santa Monica Boulevard and Theater Row, all those banners you see when you drive in, the Theater Row things. I'll reserve what I'm about to say. Those are run by the Business Improvement District. So before we get to the banners you see for like the Red Cat and the Getty and all that sort of thing, we might make a pilot program to see if we can, for the weeks of Fringe, swap out the Theater Row banners with like a Hollywood Fringe type banners, which would be great. And we can probably do maybe just for the cost of making the banners, which is totally reasonable. Just making the banners is no problem. It's the getting them, like the place where you see like the Getty in those places, these places that have ridiculous endowments, like lots and lots of money been open since Jesus was born, that sort of thing, is like, those guys can afford that sort of thing. We are still a second year grassroots festival, so it'd be difficult. But like, that's the goal, right?
Yeah,
the goal.
I mean, I would be willing to round a group of people. Like, I mean, I know that you can go to the city council, you have to be persistent, and you can petition them, and just stay present and say, we are the Hollywood Fringe. It is to the benefit of the Hollywood community and all the little shops on the street.
Yep.
To give us a presence. What are you going to do? How are you going to do this? We have people coming in from all over the world. We want people to know that we exist, because I think that was the biggest problem this year, was the lack of visibility in the obvious places. Like, you had to know. You had to go to the web. You had to hear Hollywood Fringe. So some passerby, it was harder for somebody to get slammed with the info.
Yep.
And I feel like there is a Hollywood City Council, and
there's no Hollywood City Council. There's an LA City Council. There's no Hollywood.
And I hear the Santa Monica City Council, in case you're telling me.
Oh, right. Because Santa Monica is a city. Hollywood
right,
is a city.
Hollywood,
like,
yeah.
Place.
So if there is a place and a group of people, I mean, I'd be willing to volunteer to be a presence over this next 6 months, so that by the time it rolls around, they're supporting us a little more than you having to pay LA Weekly distribution. You know what I mean?
Was the pole signs, was that a city council thing? I got the impression that was a private company sort of thing. That's
but
like,
it may be something else they offer us. Like, you know how they have a Santa Claus across Hollywood Boulevard? Well,
the Scientologist Santa Claus?
No. Beverly Mills has got like a Santa Claus just on Canon. But what I'm saying is that maybe it's possible if we enroll them, I don't know how much you've worked on it, for them to like support us for free, because it's to their benefit.
Right now, as the director of development, I'll chime in.
Please.
It's very tough for the city council to do anything, since the city is right now $400 million Yes. So
prices are going up. They're not making breaks.
Any help that they're going to give us is going to be writing a letter saying we support these guys, which they have. Councilmember Garcetti has been exceptional on his support of the Hollywood.
Amazing.
He was by the way, also an actor in a show at Ed Fringe.
Wow.
Little known fact.
Yes. Eric Garcetti was a Edinburgh Fringer.
Yeah. But right now it's very difficult for the city to give breaks on these kind of things. Visibility is obviously our number one goal leading into our second annual Fringe Festival. And it's something that we're going to be focused on from now until then, obviously.
In a lot of cases, visibility equals money. I mean, it's what it comes down to. Is that you need, our marketing budget was $20,000, which is more than, how much I spent for lunch yesterday. But at the same time, it's like $20,000 only goes so far, so you really need, it'll be bigger this year. But you need to figure out, what's the best conceivable way you can use this, And so, to do pole signs would have eaten up our entire marketing budget just to do, one strip. Which might have been great, but then we wouldn't have had guides, So, it's all this give and take and making decisions. Pole signs is definitely something that's on our roadmap, something we want as soon as we can afford them. And maybe starting with Santa Monica Boulevard along Theater Row, because that's still, it's a really high traffic street. We might be able to get some benefit out of that. And then starting to expand into where you see the traditional Getty and Red Cat and et cetera, Skirball signs on the road, which I agree are incredibly valuable. But there's a reason why those arts institutions I just mentioned were the best funded in the city, because it costs. Yeah. So, but yeah, I would love that. I would love if we could have someone write the word fringe in a clouds every day. So, I would love crazy.
Maybe it's possible. I don't know how much you've done, but maybe it's possible. Maybe individual businesses will say, for a free mention in the Hollywood Guide, I'll put a flag outside of my business and we create flags that are...
Well, posters effectively is what we do. We did that with posters, and stuff like that through our Friends program. But yeah, that'll be ever expanding as time and budget goes on and on and on. But you're absolutely right. You hit on it right. It's something we need to focus on more and more and more and more to try to get more visibility and more visibility and more visibility. And if you have any ideas, pole signs is a great idea, anything else, then by all means,
Okay.
just share.
Send me a little.
That was great. Send me a little thing. Anything else on, now we're just jumping around all over the place. Huh? Well, let's talk about visibility. While we're on sign spinners, not a bad idea. While we're on the subject of visibility, does anyone else have any fantastic ideas that we can use? I'm just checking the time. Fantastic ideas. How do I run out of battery so fast?
Android sucks.
Oh, yeah, the iPhone doesn't have any battery problems.
They don't.
No.
10 hours.
Not by comparison.
This is my death grip. Whoa, my phone turned. Sorry.
Time's running out, Ben.
8:15. We have plenty of time. So, any other ideas as far as what we're talking about?
Were you planning on any venue signage, specific, consistent, branded venue signage itself?
Do you mean like the banners we had for Note and Asylum and stuff like that, or even more? So
I'd say even more. Honestly, what
were you thinking?
Something that would pop out more, be bigger, or something. It's like they were great. Those that we had, when they sounded big. And then we got them to the
space.
That's very little.
I know, yeah.
I
actually like the flag idea a lot.
Yeah.
Especially if we can get businesses involved. Flags.
Do you know what the problem with flags are?
Are you going to tell me?
I am.
Okay.
Because there's a flag for that dumbass Schwarzenegger movie right now, The Expendables. The problem with flags is...
It's a slice of the movie.
The problem with flags is they can be flaccid to use around most of the time. Flags are
not
flaccid.
Not during a phallic parade.
And like,
it's bad.
It's only when the wind picks up.
Well, she can also get an extension.
You have a wood dowel on your end. It's just the idea of approaching businesses and say, we'll give you advertising in our program if you put this banner... if we can attach this banner outside your door. So we created our own lamp posts, flags with willing partners and kind of do a barter thing.
Sure.
And I mean, it wouldn't cost the city of Hollywood any amount of money to allow us to put a banner across the street the way they let the Scientology people put a Santa Claus.
Santa
you know,
Claus.
We can argue that. You know what I mean? Because it doesn't cost them any money, so if they're out of money, well, we've got a free idea for you. We'll hang it.
Right. Well, sure, and stuff like that would be great. Like, they have, like big signs across, like, banners across Hollywood Boulevard or wherever and stuff like that would be great. I mean, yes.
I have an idea. Freak mask on sticks.
Freak mask on sticks?
Yeah.
To hand out to
like,
people?
Yeah, even download and print out your own, put them on cardboard and put them on a stick.
That's fun. French masks on sticks.
And there's also the possibility of like just even something that pulls tourists' attention, something like a Klieg light that's on the top, you know, and all of the venues have a light that shoots straight up into the air and it's blue. You know, what the hell ever.
Yes.
Yeah. Something that just says, oh, look, there's a light over there.
Orlando has colors, right?
Yes, I highly, like, the one suggestion I would have over all suggestions is some sort of unification of the venues.
Yeah.
There should be some, that's what we did in Orlando to make sure, even though they were in different theaters, the Bob Carr,
like
the Sack Theater.
The red,
yeah,
green.
They each had a color,
right.
And then they were either, it was the blue venue at, you know, in this case, let's say Theater Asylum or whatever.
Right.
But the concept being that there is something that unifies them to the fringe. We all know that during that week,
Match.
The fringe, exactly, is going
on. I think Edinburgh does numbers because they have a lot of them. And so I think like you become a venue and you are assigned a number.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you get like a banner that says like venue number 45.
Yeah.
Edinburgh,
and it's usually very
banner.
Ornate over the
right.
whole thing, right?
Like boom, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be great. Well, I'm doing math in my head how much that would cost. But yeah. I mean, like, definitely achievable. It would be about $2,000. But yeah, definitely achievable. Interesting there, but very good. Very successful. So, have, like, wherever you go, there is a themed banner so you know, oh, there's the banner. Okay, it's like knowing where a tube stop is in London and stuff like that. You see the big tube sign and you go.
And that's only, Ben, that's only if you're looking for it. If somebody's just walking up the street and they see venue number 45 and they come over to the note and they say, what the hell is this?
Tells this, right.
Next thing you know, you're selling tickets to them as well. So
right.
it's also advertising.
That's great.
As well as simply market identification.
That's
the
great.
The color system that we had in Orlando came from the theme park world, just making
right.
it completely idiot-proof.
Right.
You know, orange venue. Orange had these tickets, these shows.
Hmm.
You wanted to see that show, you went to the orange venue. You wanted to see the show? Huh?
How many venues did Orlando have?
They currently have, we started with seven.
Uh-huh.
But we currently have 17 now.
17 different colors.
17 different colors. We're
like
Q's. There's a plaid. There's a plaid venue. No, seriously. There's a plaid venue. There's a pink venue. The pink and 1 year, I don't know if they did it. Last year I was on the board. We did the venues. The colors had something to do with the shows that were inside them. So pink venue was anything that was gay related for that year. They had all, I mean, it was all, you know, there was a
did
rainbow.
Did you have a black venue as well?
Wait, they
were brown. What, John?
It was the pink at rainbow. Actually, was what it was called. But yeah, but each one then had some. The dramas were in blue. Yeah, it was that's how it was.
Well, see, that's fun. Now, so are these actual like vinyl banners? What did you have?
Yeah, there were flags.
Yeah.
We had actual flags that were just stuck, like, you know, either in by tape or they actually had flagpoles.
Yeah.
They're hung out to the side, and then a large banner over the front. And then the small box office section, because Orlando has a central, all the, even though they're individual theater venues, the central fringe organization runs all the box offices for
right.
each individual venue.
Right.
The box office stand, which was essentially just a big box, was that color.
Right.
And was out in front of it. And so you'd have that color thing, the banner, the flags. It was very easy to figure out which venue was which.
Great ideas.
It's a really good idea.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it costs more because everyone's going to be different. See, that's just me. I'm thinking of this. But because you're not producing the same one over and over again, because each one is unique, you're end up paying a premium for every single one.
We'll work it out.
I'm not
going to
bitch
about
money.
You know, this is pink. Yeah. But just think of it as blue sky, you know?
Yeah.
You know.
But it may come back in returns because I think visibility was a big issue.
Absolutely.
Well,
I think it will come back in returns as well.
Well, I think visibility during the fringe is also different than visibility leading up to the fringe.
Yeah.
I think our biggest issue, even bigger than visibility during the fringe, was previous.
Yeah.
But I think with the year that we had and the contacts we've made in the press, will be able to lead up to the Fringe a lot stronger, especially if we're talking about a preview week.
Yeah.
People will know about it a lot more next year.
If we'd had a third week, that third week would have had like tons and tons of
sales went up.
It's like that.
Thank you for the arrow. Yes, that.
yeah, but if we had a third week, I mean, like, our biggest day was the last Sunday. It's like people was like, show sold out. The last Sunday was the biggest day for a lot of things. If we had another week, we would have, like, it would have been great.
It's like throwing a good party, you know. You got to throw it, and then everybody keeps hearing about it.
Yeah.
More people experience it. There's 2 years of we went to festivals, events. A lot of people here volunteered their time to wear Fringe costumes. We were on PBS. We were on television, actually.
We were on television.
We'll continue to expand and explore all these different options. And
any ideas that you guys have during the year, like, as crazy as you think it may be, toss it our way.
Yeah,
you have our emails, support@hollywoodfringe.com. Lexi, that's you.
Org.
They both work.
They do. They both.
They both work. Back off.
So that's actually great. I really like this idea about banners for videos.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
great.
Might even do it. We can check that.
Use this year's t-shirts for next year's.
Oh, there you go.
That's actually, yeah. On the pole.
On the pole. T-shirt on the pole.
It's easy as assigning a freak to each venue, if you really think about it.
Yeah. Right. I mean, we don't have
that many.
We can make more.
You want Gavin to make 30 more freaks?
I don't want Gavin.
How many more venues do we have?
30.
We have 32 freaks. 32 venues.
Wow.
32 venues can repeat the freaks.
Yeah,
we had a lot of venues.
There were a lot of venues. And here I am asking for more. Great idea. Visibility of all of the subjects, pretty big subjects.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Yeah, I think as far as visibility during the Fringe, I think the Egyptian courtyard is a fantastic idea. Just because there's so much foot traffic and we were kind of hidden away, and it was a cool little like spot for people that knew what was going on. But if people could walk by, you know, the same way they look in the stupid wax museum and stop in and buy a ticket, if they see, you
it's
know,
not
that,
stupid by
that,
the way,
that
the wax museum is awesome.
All
right, fair enough. You know, if they can see, you know, there's food and art and stuff going on. I mean, that might be an excellent place for visual art. And I don't know, as far as having the bar and food and whatever there, I think is.
Absolutely. Like, it's one of the things, like, because, like, I've learned a lot about this stuff in the past couple months. A lot of things talking to John Armstrong here. But, like, a lot of the things that we need are, like, we need permanent stage. We need sitting area. We had no sitting area for the visibility stages this year. So people were going to come, and then they were going to leave. The programming was, you know, someone would come on for a while, and then, you know, there would be freaks dancing around and handing out flyers, but then we would lose a crowd. The key thing is going to get those professionals to work that area, like the professional outdoor artists, the professional buskers, that are going to keep the crowd going from the next to the next. And we need a couple weeks for that to work. We need permanent seating. We need shade in that seating. Somebody told me, Shelby, who's probably going to be listening to this in a little while, Shelby Bond said to me, is like, he worked at a fair once, and he's like, I will fill with audience any area that has shade. So if you can give me an area with shade, I will fill that with audience. We didn't really have shade. We didn't have seats. So, like, that's why we're talking about next year, really pushing with this permanent outdoor staging positions that has seats, that has shade, that has an actual stage, and to program that with professional outdoor artists, professional buskers, to try to bring people into the circus, as it were, to buy tickets for more of the indoor shows. So that's the thought. But yeah. Using the crap out of the Egyptian courtyard next year would be great. As I said, we're still working on the deal, the nature of the deal with American Cinematheque. So once we have that nailed down, hopefully we'll have some good news to announce about how we're going to be handling that.
I think it's important to remember that you don't have to, especially leading up to Fringe, lots of people have their internet home ports or whatever, their outlets. You don't have to talk about just yourself.
Yep.
You use your space to talk about other people who are doing things similar to you, things that are exciting to you. Talk to them, put some little short thing together. It should not be just for yourself alone, because then only your friends are listening to you. But if you do it for other things that are exciting for you, do it constantly over these months, once a month, once a week or something, that's another way. That's actually an even more effective way, cheap way, to generate attention, coverage, awareness that will reach to places where an organization cannot, because it's one person to another, one link to another. Some of you make little videos. Mm-hmm. Some of you like interview. You have lots of options available to you. It just means you have to be willing to use it, not for yourself, but for other things that are similar to you that you like, and for the bigger organization.
Can we still post things on our original Fringe?
So, a page?
Uh-huh.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, for most likely, if you were going to do like rehab again next week, which you probably do again next week, you would still probably want to create a new page for that. That's probably how it's going to work. But yeah, those pages that you had right now will never go away, at least until something terrible happens. But like all of those little sites will always still be there. We're not like taking those pages down or anything like that. So everything will still be there. You know, based on what Pam said. This is what I was telling a lot of veteran flyers, booths, would say like when flyering, yes, have your own flyer, but say, and it's a part of this, and like hand them a Fringe guide or some sort of Fringe merch as well, because it's like otherwise you're just some a-hole handing them your flyer, like whatever, but it's a part of this huge thing. And like, it's kind of self-serving when I say stuff like this, but it's really good for us all. Because the more people that do that, the more cross-pollination that we're going to have. And your show will still be their on-ramp. Like, they'll come in, they'll have this flyer, this big thing. So it's like, well, we took this guy, maybe we should see this. But like, I really want to see a lot of other stuff here too. It all looks really cool. So just as a matter of flyer technique. As Pam said, yes, mentioning, of course, your show, but also the larger show helps the festival, it helps you, it increases the likelihood that they're going to patronize your show and the festival as a whole, which is good for everybody.
The most traffic I got on my show's website was when I posted my blog about the other show that I wanted to see.
Boom! That's awesome. I saw, Brian, your hand is up.
I know this was glossed over, and maybe there's a huge obvious reason for this, and of course this is being recorded, so I can't use the language that I want. And this is sort of related to visibility, and I know I'm rambling, but why, if the Hollywood Film Festival was on our Fringe this year, and oh god, now I just make it seem like it's mounting it, and now it's on the next year's Fringe, and I'm wondering why that is, if we want to be visible, because a lot of people are not going to go to our shows like before or after they see one of the films of the film festival. So why, like, are you guys still discussing the dates of the Fringe Festival, or is it completely set in stone? And if it's completely set in stone, why to put this very rudely, why do we have to share like the city with the film festival? This is fucking Hollywood. This is Hollywood.
Right. Well, okay, right. Well first, there's a few things. First of all, there is no perfect period. Like, give me a date, I will tell you six other major events happening at the same time. Second, Edinburgh. During August, there's about 15 festivals happening at exactly the same time. Not just the Edinburgh Festival of Fringe, but the Edinburgh International Festival, the Edinburgh Military Tattoo, the Edinburgh Folklore Festival, the Edinburgh Fiction Festival, and it goes on and on and on and on. Only helps the fact that there's so much going on at one time, everyone. No one came up to me and said, I really would have loved to come to the Hollywood Fringe Festival, but I was over in Westwood the whole time watching the LA Film Festival. It literally, I don't think, had zero impact on us. And if we can develop, we've already have a relationship with the LA Film Festival. If we can develop, and there was the Ring Cycle Festival at the same time, next year we're going to have the Theater Communications Group conference at the same time. What you see is a conflict, I see as an opportunity. Because first of all, as I said, no perfect dates. So if we share dates with some of the big guys, develop relationships with them, we can develop cross-promotional opportunities. So we can use everyone going to the LA Film Festival. Let's say that there's also merch there, not just for the festival whole, but for all these individual shows. It's another place where you, the Fringe Festival participant, can go and drop your merch to a huge crowd that you know is going to be walking through there. They can see it. So, like literally, like, no, the festival dates aren't going to change next year. And I would say, how can we use the fact that we have another big-ass honking festival the exact same time at Red Cad CTG next year at the same time as well? They're all different locations. Like, I wouldn't say Hollywood is better than... better than downtown or Westwood or the whole thing. But the fact that all these are so spread out, like we can make this work for us. Like, it needs to be in summer, pretty much. The festival dates were chosen carefully to be in sync with other worldwide fringe festivals. Because this is like the ideal date between major fringe festivals where there's sort of a hole for people who are planning to do a fringe circuit, can include the Hollywood Fringe on the fringe circuit without sacrificing Toronto or Washington, D.C. or Orlando or et cetera, except San Francisco or Minneapolis. So that was my response to that. Take what you see as a problem and make it into an opportunity. Like turn shit into gold, basically. And you have the opportunity to do that. I mean, and we have relationships with all these other festivals, from the CTG Festival to the Theater Communications Group Conference to the LA Film Festival. Use it, you know. But as I say, like, I don't feel like in this year, even though this was a concern, any way, shape, or form detracted from turnout, 17,000, to detract it from the turnout from the Fringe Festival. And how can we, with the danger of repeating myself seven times, how can we make that work for us? That's what I would say. But other than that, like as I say, give me a date, I'll give you seven major conferences. It's Los Angeles. It's the second largest city in the country and the best city in the world.
A sales idea as opposed to visibility, I guess. But a thing that I did for a UK festival, I don't know how it would translate. It was a music event, and they adopted a few student-specific events, like a particular workshop or a particular speaker that was like a value to students, and then contacted the tutors of like music, you know, music degrees for say 6 months previous, and got them to slot it in as like a trip, and gave like a wristband for that day.
Yeah.
And that worked really, really well.
Like as a pass, the wristband.
Yeah. So I don't know with your ticketing system how it would work, but basically the same. Okay, on the Tuesday, the Thursday, the Friday, there were going to be a particular person giving a talk, or there's going to be a particular workshop on improv or something. We will give you a wristband. You can go and see whatever you want over 3 days. Mm-hmm. With this wristband, there'll be a certain allotted area, and also during those days, there's these things of educational value.
Yeah, I mean that's great. Like this, and the whole subject of passes, because that's basically what you're talking about. You're talking about some form of pass, basically, where you get a wristband, and that gets you entry into X, Y, Z, Q, W, and P, basically.
Yeah, just tying it in with the student. I mean, I don't know if that's fringy enough. That was the thing. Maybe that's a bit more formal, but I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, it's absolutely fringy enough. The thing, because we love to have something like that, something like a pass, where you get a card and it gives you access to 10 shows, and you can just walk into the show and they stamp your pass, and you move on and on and on. The problem, though, comes in the nature of the model of the Fringe Festival, our Fringe Festival at least, is because we don't run every house, and we certainly don't produce every show, we don't present any shows. The problem is that you need some sort of very complicated revenue sharing system, to the point where it's so complicated that if you wanted to take place, it would need to be on an opt-in basis. If Courage Theater wanted to take part in this, then their per ticket revenue would go, and it would be this mathematical nightmare. That's the problem. And where we're looking for ways to, like, how do we get the spirit of that, we're making it more fringe. And what Edinburgh does, which is what we might want to do next year, is they have like a their one big promotion is their 2-for-1 promotion, which is basically if you're a show and you opt in, we thought about doing this year, we ended up not doing it because it's too much of a pain in the ass. But let's say Pagan Play wanted to opt in to this 2-for-1 program, basically means for the performances that it specifies, so like your morning performances, the performances you're trying to sell, is that people with a fringe friend pass can go, so the Fringe Festival gets a little money as the benefit of the promotion, can go and they can buy 2 tickets for the price of 1 to that show, to that show, to that show. That's about as complicated as Edinburgh gets as far as passes go. Now, we'll still try to figure it out. It's just really hard, and it really decreases the amount of money that Fringe participants get, because they need to share it on the one little pass. And you think about it, it's like no one pass will go see all the same shows. Right. So it turns into, like, how do you even know what shows they go see? You know, and there's no way of even recording that unless you have some sort of, like, debit card type of thing. And we deploy debit card riders to every venue. So we're already thinking, then we have problems of people using it wrong or swiping it twice. And, oh, it just turns into this nightmare. Like, so, like, that's why we didn't have passes this year. I mean, it's an amazingly great idea. And then the question is going to be, how can we get the spirit of that passes without the huge administrative overhead it would take to actually make that successful? So that's the question.
In kind of the vein of pinning students and having some sort of special, can one of the categories that we have as far as, like, what venues are looking for,
mm-hmm.
do something like, as a participant, my show has educational value of X or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then personally the participants can go to schools and say, like, hey, you guys, like, go sit in at USC and say,
yeah.
like, this is my show. They, you can go look online and, like, see all the other shows that tout themselves as being educational.
The flip side of what you're saying, the educational and bringing more educational people, that I think is really important, is, like, what will be bread and butter and money, you know, and all three of those things for French participants would be bringing in more trips, school tours, that sort of thing. I had a really depressing meeting with the LA Unified School District last year. It was just like, I walked in there, and I walked in, there were people crying. And it was like, I met with, like, the theater person, and who was losing her job in 2 weeks, and, like, the music person, and the overall person. The overall person was saying, it's basically just going to be me doing all arts programming for all of LAUSD. And it's just like, they're throwing their hands in the air. And so it's like, it's going to take decades to rebuild what we had 2 months ago in LAUSD. So, like, I love that more, just going, like, fuck, God. So depressed. I came home and I did my whole, like, spiel. It's like, education's too important in this country. We need to do something. But, yeah, then I just...
You're going to send your kids to private school.
Right, that, pretty much. but yeah... Anyway, before I got that little screen on the state of our arts education, getting more high schools to sort of put this on their radar for next year, saying if you want to do this, and giving them more tools on the website to select what they want to see. This year we had family friendly. Like, generally, if you want to see a family friendly show, you had a reasonable amount that there was going to be no nudity or drugs or sex or cursing or anything like that. But actually, like, really reaching out to these programs, like, there's sort of like a whole role within the French organization that needs to be created. Its whole responsibility is outreach to mid-sized theaters and schools and other theaters and other parts. Like, this is something we need, we don't have right now, someone who has those kind of connections. So
one big thing on that we learned this year doing that was that if you prepare them at the beginning of the school year, like,
yep.
not give them, this is where you buy tickets, but if you even to send an email out in September saying, these are the dates, it's going to be of educational value, build this into your schedule that
yeah.
there will be something coming your way in January, then you've got a much better chance of them being having some sort of budget to allocate to it when you've come up with something for them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
One of the things we are working against is obviously the timing of the French
mm-hmm.
Festival. Most schools are out
yeah.
in the timing of the French Festival.
Yeah.
Something we need to work around, but still doesn't
rule
anything
out. School programs, stuff like that.
Yeah, like stuff like that.
YMCAs.
All that stuff. All that stuff that gives you money from grants saying, oh, I teach kids. You
yeah.
know, and they say, oh, here's $50,000. But, like, that's all you need to do. This is good for kids. You just need to go into a grantor's office and say, kids! And they're like, where's my check? Not so much anymore. But, yeah, having more stuff like that, stuff that's more educational, stuff that we can loop in schools and academic institutions would be awesome. And that's definitely a whole group of people that we can expose to the arts and people who we can expose to box office totals. And that sort of stuff. But both of those, the win-win situation, really. So, yeah, absolutely. Sir?
Yeah, as far as visibility goes, I think it'd be really great, and I don't mean annoying performers, to have some kind of presence at subway stations.
Yes.
Because there's a whole bunch of people that are looking for stuff to do, and they have money to spend on those things, and they're they literally think you have to buy a ticket to ride the subway. They have no idea. So
right.
they want to spend money on, and you see them in there, and, you know, people from, you know, backpacking.
Mm-hmm.
You do need to pay a ticket.
Not on the subway station?
Yes!
Yeah.
You actually
really?
Do need to pay a ticket.
$5.
I'm on
yeah,
that.
$6.
Regardless.
You mean
the above ground or the below ground?
No, nobody's from LA.
Really?
Yes.
$6 for doing that.
No shit.
Yes.
Wow. I'll start buying a ticket.
There's more.
You really need to buy a ticket.
But yes. Someone like the maps and the stars and the guides and the ships and such planets and the, you know, things, and like they're looking for stuff to do.
Absolutely.
And they're students and artsy people and traveling people, and I think a fringe festival would like be like ding 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 on their radar.
Absolutely. Like, you know, it'll like it's about money, it's about resources, it's about getting people down there and the whole thing. It's
about,
yeah,
but
yeah,
like a free riding the subway station, like that would draw interest.
I mean, and that's what we're gonna have more of this year, and that Ken's gonna be working a lot of this year, which is using those mascots.
Yeah.
Is like getting those masks. We're doing a new revision on the freaks, so you can, you know, see out of the mask. they're like literally the current mask. You can't. Yeah. We missed a little. We missed that in our design.
I feel like we forgot some.
Visibility. How about being able to breathe?
Right. Breathe is good too. So basically having deploying those freaks more and more around, like in the subway station and stuff like that. So it becomes more of like you're at Theater of Node, you're coming out of a show, and like there's a freak there. It's like seeing Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. You know?
It's like some sort of thing. Ah! And have them like walk around in more and more world. Like that's basically me. Kids World is going to be making sure those freaks are deployed during the whole festival. You work here.
But I have something to say.
Please.
A good way to up our visibility is to tell your friends to help us, i.e. we need volunteers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because there are seven, eight of us on staff, and maybe. So when we're doing things like walking people through doors and telling them to go to your shows, we can't be out there dressed in the spandex with the hats on. So if you know people who want to volunteer and will actually commit to doing it, there's all kinds of benefits, which you can find on the website. Like, we need
cool
them
people
to come and be
and the free
present
drinks.
And
so
stuff like that. Yeah, because like, and as I said, it's all about money and resources, more importantly than money. Is that, like, obviously we want to be everywhere, you know? We all, like, it just comes down to, do we have enough people to go everywhere? Because everyone has their own projects, they have their own jobs, their own things. We can't afford to pay everyone to do the things that they probably deserve to be paid for quite yet. Like, Edinburgh is great. Edinburgh doesn't have any volunteers. Everyone's paid. Like, everyone is paid. And they've been around 60 years. So in the end, it would be great if we had these $200,000 budgets for this sort of stuff that we can start paying people to do. But in the meantime, we need people who care. We're saying, you know what? I have 5 hours free here. I'm more than happy to go to the subway and hand things out and wear a freak shirt or a French shirt or something like that, and to like hand things out and talk up the festival and all these things. And it's those sort of deployments of volunteers that we want to do a lot better next year.
It's a lot easier than people think. It is just like a few hours.
Yeah, and fun.
It's fun.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Get free hugs.
And it works too. Like, like British Invasion, literally, everyone who saw their show, with the exception of people who just heard about it in the French community, were flyer victims, basically. Mm-hmm. People who walked by and got a flyer and then walked up. It works. And they were filling houses in the end just by getting busting ass and handing out flyers. Now, all those guys do Edinburgh and they do Brighton and they do all the big French festivals, so they know this works. And they were also right on Hollywood Boulevard, which is the main drag and that sort of thing. So, like, all this works. Mm-hmm. Like, flyering works. And that's all I'll say about that. Flyering mm-hmm. works.
Rachel.
I had a quick comment. I was at the LA Stage conversation this week, and there was a lot of discussion about getting schools and groups. Mm. And, you know, you really do have to approach the schools earlier in the school year because they're setting their programming and their funding. And, you know, maybe as, like, a senior project to reach out to the drama teachers as, you know, hey, do a senior project, do your show in the Fringe.
Yeah.
You know, we'll give you a break on whatever, but... I think group sales are important, but it takes a lot of time and energy to make those connections.
Yeah, it does. You know, and it's all a work in progress. Like 10 years from now, no one in LA will not know what the Fringe Festival is.
Hopefully.
Yeah, it's that sort of stuff. It's like it takes time and doing it year after year after year. It becomes that institution thing, and so people just know about it. Like you don't go to Edinburgh in August, and everyone knows what the Fringe Festival is. Everybody. The whole educational, like I said, there's this whole role that needs to be filled in the Fringe staff, I think, that is outreach. And they do schools, and they do mid-sized theaters, and large theaters, and small theaters, all across the state, going into the country. And that, like, bangs out everything here. We're just looking for, like, the right person who can do that and do it very well.